www.n2row.net. Look at the list of the frequencies and the repeaters and where they're located, and pick the one that's closest to where you are. This way you can best be sure that you have a good signal system. Make no sense trying to get into a repeater that's halfway across the city if you have one in your own backyard. For those who are checking in on the air, you're asked to give your call sign, name, and location, and please indicate if you have any traffic for the net. And by traffic, we mean any comments or questions that you want to share with everyone else. If you're not able to get into the repeaters either because of distance, technical difficulties, or you may not be a licensed amateur radio operator yet, you can still participate by sending an email, and our email address is nyxa@yahoo.com. That's nyxa@yahoo.com. So at this point, we'll stand by for check-in. Please space it out so we can keep the dupes to a minimum and get everybody checked in.
This is WHF, the Skip Pod in Elmwood Park, New Jersey. No traffic at the moment, and we'll be checking email.
GLW, Gordon Williams in Manhattan. Good evening to all. Yes, I have traffic. I have a question. This is W2GOD, Stephen Queens. No traffic supporting the net.
And to NOV. This is KC2PXN, Juan in Staten Island. I have no traffic.
This is KC2JXC, Ralph Bronx County, with a little traffic.
This is N1MLZ, Bob in Milford, Connecticut. Good evening. No traffic at the moment.
This is November 2, Sierra Charlie Romeo, Jim in Aberdeen, no traffic.
Okay, so far we have W2SQQ, KZQGIK, KZ2GLW, W2GOD, KZ2PXN, KZ2JXC, N1MLZ, and N2SCR. Anybody else? Okay, we'll go with the list as we have it and take some additional check-ins later on. So first one up tonight, WA2SQQ, and from the dispatches I've seen, Bob, looks like a lot of neat stuff coming out of the Consumer Electronics Show this year. And to one of them.
Yeah, that's Charlie. We had some interesting announcements over the last few days. I've been sending them to you. Among them, 150-inch plasma TV. And this morning I saw new 50-inch plasma TV, 1-inch thick. And I actually got a new product that will be shown the first time the end of the month when I go out to Vegas. But what I can tell you about it is basically it's going to be a new digital camera with 802.11 built in. So the idea is you take your pictures and you can use any one of T-Mobile's 8500 hotspots and automatically upload the pictures to the Google Picasa photo sharing website. Kind of neat. There's a lot of neat stuff coming out of there. What I've been looking for is if Unigen had any announcements, but I haven't found anything that Unigen has released at CES this year. You might know something on that. Checking email, nothing here at the moment, so we'll turn it back to you, WA2FCQ.
I'm not even ready for a 50-inch plasma, let alone a 150-inch. I can imagine that thing taking up my entire living room after I move the furniture out. As far as you is concerned, I haven't seen anything yet on any message boards. Paul Opitz, the product manager over at Unit, normally hangs out on Radio Reference, but I haven't seen any indication that there was any announcements.
Hang on, let me make sure I'm not doubling with you. Having a 50-inch plasma, to give you an idea of the size of it, it's equivalent to 6 50-inch plasmas, 3 wide by 2 high. And you can take a an automobile or an elephant and literally display it at full size. It's pretty big. That's it. I'll be watching email here, Charlie. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's see. K2GLW. Go ahead, Gordon. That's one of them.
As an aside, my first thought on that 150-inch television set is you couldn't move it anyplace. I would imagine what they did is they literally built it on the site and will dismantle it when they're done, because I would imagine that it's absolutely impossible to move anything that big. Question, Charlie. In scanning the NYPD, I keep on hearing references to Annie Alley, which is having to do with the location of things. Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, ANI/ALI. It's for number identification and location identification. So if somebody calls up on the phone to the 911 operator, they read the number, identify who it is, and they know the location.
Comment also.
Heard it before, or at least it had sailed right past me, and I'm a pretty committed listener. It's not something new, is it?
Well, it's been around in various forms for a while. It's just a matter of how well it's computerized and mashed up to different maps that they can bring up on their screens. Oh, is there somebody else in there?
Just wanted to comment on the TV, the size. Now the unit is shipped in. It was built in Osaka and shipped in, and they use riggers, but I mean, it's not heavy. That TV weighs in, from what I hear, about 1,100 pounds, but it is one piece and it's transported. In fact, it'll go from there. It's going to stay in Las Vegas for one more show, and then it'll be coming back to our office at the caucus, but one piece.
I got T.S. Trywater. Thank you, Joe.
You know, if you want, you could probably put yourself on the list for one of those televisions. Any idea how much it would cost in retail?
I don't. The news media, though, has been giving out a lot of incorrect information. They were talking about it this morning, and they said that the 105-inch version, which was last year's version, was $80,000, and that's not correct. It listed for $69,999.95, or roughly $70,000, and that was actually the selling price on it. I think we've actually sold over 5,000 of those. I don't know what the price tag is going to be on this, but this is for, I mean, hotels, Hard Rock Cafes have been buying them, and it's not the kind of thing you sell in a store, obviously, but I was talking to one of the guys in sales, and he says they've gotten over 100 people already that said we want one, you know, for very large venues, so, let me drop it a second, I'll just tell you a real quick story about last year. Getting up for the show last year, and Samsung had a booth next to us, and it had world's largest plasma. And the guys in sales saw it and almost went into a heart attack. To make a real long story short, the bottom line is that they had a prototype. We had a working unit. Theirs was 102-inch. Ours was 103-inch. So we literally had the largest, and it was working. And to the best of my knowledge, Samsung never shipped to one of them. So it's kind of interesting. This year, was to see if we could go a little bit bigger.
Build
a wall of multiple monitors. It's quite large, though, but you know, you're talking 3,000 watt power consumption. That's at 220. Which is interesting, though, because 105 inch was around 3,200 watts. So they've gone larger. They've gone 1080p. And they've actually cut the power consumption.
Well, the environmentalists must be happy.
Yeah. A lot of neat stuff at that show. It's interesting. I'll be out there the end of January for same location, same size show, but strictly for digital cameras. That gets interesting also, some of the new stuff that pops up. All right, back to you.
Good evening, Charlie. Good evening to everyone on the net, or the fellas out there. This is KT2JXC. Pierre LeBron. Yeah, Charlie, I wanted to actually mention that I put some stuff up there on the message board for New York City, the shortwave listening and the shortwave utility section. And also, real quick, I just wanted to, you know, I'm still working on the code. Got backed up a little bit, so... Yeah, I should have something there soon. That's about it. I had some other things, but they escaped my mind right now. I should have wrote them down. Back to you.
Sounds like there's a lot of things going on. I saw one of the members had posted a question in the FDNY section of the message board at n20z.net, and he was asking about the new Project 16 stuff, which is the Motorola trunk system that they're that the city's building out, the DUIT UHF system as opposed to DUIT 800. And the latest chatter that we're hearing is that Motorola claims that they're supposed to have it built out by the second quarter of this year. was reported by the end of March. So sources within the city are saying June, July. So figure somewhere by this summertime. And I think it's late by the end of the summer. Now what's interesting is some of the churn that's going on, some of the discussions on radio reference, are indicating that the radio that they're going to be using, actually two different models. One is a mobile radio for certain vehicles, Motorola XTL2500, and its companion handheld is an XTS2500. Now in UHF it's a 5-1-HT that I don't know how they do it, but 2.3 inches wide, 1.5 inches deep, and 10.8 inches high. That includes the antenna. That's really a small radio. Though even for that size with the battery, they're saying it should weigh about 19 ounces instead of 1 pound 3 ounces. So it should be a hefty battery. So, again, it's not lithium ion. They're talking about NiCad and metal hydride. Let's see, the 5-watt radio comes in three different models. I'm not sure which one they're going to get for use in the city. Model 1 is a 48-channel radio, and it looks like it's going to be three banks of 16 with no display on it. The next one is model 1.5. Strange, but okay. 96-channel radio, that would be 16 channels by 6 banks. And then models 2 and 3, which is where you start to get the display on there, it can hold a maximum of 512 channels. Now, to do your math, it comes out to 16 channels per bank of 32 banks. But there's also a little note here that says that they can have a maximum of 160 banks. So I'm wondering if they can vary the size of the banks now. Sort of like the the new scanners that have the dynamic size holders. So we'll see what happens. This radio comes in various bands. VHF for 136 to 174. It comes in two different types of UHF, low split and high split. So for dish use, it would be the high. And they're also coming out with a model that is dual band 700 to 800 megahertz. So whenever the 700 megahertz band comes out, it's the radio that will already be able to do it. It says here, Astro 25 digital trunking. Yeah, it's Astro 25 with 9600 baud data channel. Astro 16, which is 3600 baud data channel. It can be set up with digital trunk, digital and analog trunk, and also conventional. Supposed to have integrated voice and data, and also be internet protocol capable. So they can actually send messages to these radios. So you can transfer files. Now, I saw a mention of a USB port. I don't know if it's on the radio itself, but you know, that gives it some more capability. Step size between the channels, they're talking about 12.5 kilohertz step rate. But no mention whatsoever of this model doing 6.25 kilohertz. So the original plans of having 6.25 kilohertz channels looks like it's gone away. And they're settling on 12.5 kilohertz spacing between the channels. So, something to keep in mind as you start scanning through those channels that are set aside for the system. And you hear them testing in every so often. I heard some chatter a week ago doing some long test counts. But eventually we'll start to hear data channels. and you know, then we'll start to see some activity on there by the summertime. So things are moving along in that realm. Here. Let's stand by for additional check-ins. Also, if you're not able to get into the repeater, drop us an email at nycxa@yahoo.com. This is N4. I'll be with the New York City CX Association shortwave and standard listening set. Any additional check-ins, please come down.
On the email, Charlie.
Here is KC2LMH, Jim and Astoria, just drop in and say hello.
Okay, evening to Jim, KC2LMH. Bob, did you say you had email or you did not?
No email at all.
Okay. Alright, anybody else
checking in? KC2QKS, what's the traffic?
Okay, I've got KC2QKS. It's a little fluttery signal, Frank. Did you have traffic?
Yes, 2KS does have some traffic. Back to net.
Okay, stand by 1 second. Anybody else?
Thank you, N2NLB. Just a little bit of an update. I sent out an email. I was having some trouble with the Echolink and just to kind of figure out what transpired. I had Verizon, and I've had it, I guess, maybe 4 or 5 years, and the modem gave me some trouble. And so I decided to go with Roadrunner. And in the next day or two, I'm going to try to give Echolink another shot with a different system. I tried very hard, and I thought Charlie was giving me some points about opening the door. And I just think I did everything I possibly could. Hopefully, maybe it's next Monday's NAS or maybe next Wednesday, I can bring up the date and let you know my experience with it, comparing Verizon to Roadrunner with the Echo. Back to net.
Okay, Frank. Well, good luck with that. I know some other people have had the same type of problem. Just got to make sure that you have all the ports opened up in the router that are necessary. But for some reason, someone else I know that tried the same thing with Verizon's DSL and it wasn't working. And they went to cable modem and all of a sudden it did. So Verizon's DSL must be blocking some things on their side. So, let me know how it turns out. You said you were going to get it in a few days. Okay, in case anybody hasn't seen it, the message that Ralph was talking about in the New York City message board includes all sorts of different things, from showing broadcasting station schedules, for the winter season, which we're in the middle of now, until March, and also a bunch of listings regarding some utility stations, especially those pertaining to international aircraft. Yeah, if you're listening to local aircraft at your airports, the control towers, and the approach and departure frequencies on VHF, you know, that's great. But for international flights, once they leave a particular area, you know, they switch over to the shortwave band and upper sideband. And that's where you can hear a lot of different aircraft in different parts of the world. Now, this time of the year, you're going to hear a lot of those stations are going to be on the lower frequencies. Yeah, you know, down around 2 megs, 3, 4, 5, 6 megs. And as the sunspot cycles come up, you'll start to see those bands changing, and they'll be using one higher in frequency to match the cycle. So at the bottom of the sunspot cycle now, we should be reaching a peak in about 5 years. And at that time, it'll start turning around and coming back down, you know, such as the way of the sun. But right now, good time to get your feet wet, tune up your ears, you know, get used to the static that might be out there, though not much in the wintertime. You know, just get used to how it sounds. And then as the sunspot cycle, you know, you'll hear it get busier and busier. So check out the message boards, and I want to thank Ralph for all that good information. It's a very complete list. All right, for any last minute check-ins or email, otherwise we'll wrap it up early tonight. This is N20B.
DLW.
KQGLW, Ted.
You're hearing me, but your last transmission, at least for me, you kept on fading out completely. You'd, I'd hear a few words, and then you would fade out completely, then you'd come back in and fade out again.
Yeah, I got the same thing to you, Gordon. It's either the system or somebody playing around.
Monday night at the Ericsnet, I was also having trouble picking you up, and I usually don't. It may be something at your end.
Well, like I said, it's either the system with multiple receivers or just somebody playing around.
We're now to Manhattan 440. I don't know if that would make any difference.
Well, my parents told me a long time ago, the more parts to a system, whether it be mechanical or electronic, the more can go wrong or get interfered with.
Well, I will say 73 to all, and maybe next week we will have a clearer channel.
Okay. Bob, anything in email before we wrap it?
Nothing, Charlie. Quiet night. WHYCQ.
Okay. Well, I'm going to turn the scanner back on and keep listening to those new UHF channels and see if I hear any more testing tonight. I'll say 7-3 to everybody and catch you next week.
As that tone will be clear.